This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Courtney Stewart joins me live in studio, star reporter over at The Hook online at readthehook.com, the author of this week's cover story. It is the cover story, right?
It is, indeed.
And an update on the Morgan Harrington case, the disappearance, assault, and the murder of this young woman. Her body was found just about a year ago on a very remote farm, really remote part of a farm in southern Albemarle down Route 29 South. Courtney's your article prints here for the first time many revelations that the police have just recently released, right?
Yeah, well, there are revelations that came out actually at the end of January during a tour that police led of the arena area and then also Anchorage Farm, the two locations that are involved in this case. And so some of them have been printed elsewhere. I wanted to do something that really put everything together and was sort of inclusive, not only of this information, but putting it into context with other information and really trying to...
Here's everything we know.
Yeah, here's what we know and sort of document what the public knows at this time, you know, everything that we have. And, you know, in the hope that maybe it'll jog somebody's memory, you know, that sort of thing.
977-1070 is the phone number. And if you want to join this conversation, your thoughts about the disappearance of Morgan Harrington. What don't you know that you need to know besides who did this? And we were talking before we went on the air. One thing that I think people forget is there is a genetic link that has been discovered between the person who may be among persons, but definitely a person at least, who's responsible for her death.
Right.
That
is, I think, the biggest piece of evidence in this case is that it's linked to this 2005 brutal sexual assault in Fairfax by DNA. And so there's a description because the victim in the 2005 case survived and was able to give police.
But the person who did this in Fairfax is the same person, the same DNA they found on Morgan's body.
Well, I don't know if it was on Morgan's body or what evidence it was from. But yes, they have collected DNA evidence from the same individual that's responsible for the 2005 rape. So this guy is involved in both of these cases.
Yeah. So the woman who was raped in Fairfax. How did she describe this guy?
She described him, she described him as dark skinned. I think she said she thought he was African American. Sort of nothing else, sort of average, everything else, height 25 to 35, something like that. He in the composite sketch, I think he has some facial hair. But really the features, when you look at them, nothing stands out. It's not like he's got sort of a really unusual nose or a strange mouth or weird teeth. I mean, if you change the tone of the skin, it really could be somebody from any ethnicity.
But she just said he definitely was a person of color.
That's how she described it at the time.
Yeah.
And I think,
I mean,
police,
just not a Northern European here. It was just, but a person of color.
That's how she described him. Police are being really careful because eyewitness accounts, particularly when you've got somebody who is horrifically traumatized, who's been, I believe, strangled to the point of unconsciousness in the dark, attacked from behind. We don't really know how close a look she got at this guy, or, you know, whether he was trying to cover her eyes, or, you know, it's hard to know what she saw. And certainly I have not been able to speak with her. So we're just going based on this piece of paper that's been around for now almost 6 years.
But the person who did that, the person that assaulted this woman and raped her and nearly killed her in Fairfax in 2005, genetically, we know that that's the same person who killed Morgan or was involved in her death.
Yeah, we know. That's really disturbing because what it does, I think, is it removes certain scenarios that I think people wanted to think might be possible. Maybe this was an accident. Maybe she fell and hit her head and somebody got scared and decided they didn't want to deal with the aftermath and hit her body. No, this is a predator. This is somebody who we know hurt a woman in Fairfax badly, beat her in addition to raping her. And
tried to kill her.
And tried to kill her and might have succeeded had he not been startled and scared off by a passerby.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about an accident here or something that just, you know, went wrong with Morgan. There's a predator. There's a vicious predator involved in this case.
And obviously a serial predator.
I mean, a serial predator. Yeah. And we know of these two, but there's no way to say that he's not responsible for other crimes. And certainly I think we can say that he remains a risk to this community, if he remains here, which police believes The police have said...
They've said that since the beginning. We think this person is still here.
Yeah, and they couldn't have said it more plainly at that walking tour at the end of January. They said, we are extremely confident that he's in this community, that he is still here.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. You can check out her cover story, the very latest, everything we know to date about the assault and murder of Morgan Harrington. Share with us some of the things the police recently released, some of the newer news that they previously hadn't told us.
What they did was they filled in some blanks, I think. You know, from the very beginning, we knew that she somehow ended up outside the arena. But what they did on this tour was they shared that, in fact, somebody did tell her about the reentry policy as she was trying to leave. One of the ticket takers said, if you leave, you can't come back in. And she went ahead and left anyway. So that was a question that I think people had wondered. How did she end up? And, you know, did she know that she wasn't going to be allowed back in? Those kinds of things. Well, she did. She was told. But then she tried to come back in anyway. And the ticket taker said, you needed, you know, a new ticket. And so she then went back outside and she was seen emptying her purse out front at one point, looking for her camera, this red camera that still has never been found.
Yeah.
So there was that little detail. There was more information given about this, the path she took as she left the arena and walked to the RV lot where it was shared early on that she had ended up in the RV lot. And that's where her purse and several belongings were found. She actually was walking with the police described them as students who were leaving the John Paul Jones Arena. I have reported previously that they were basketball, they were men's basketball team members. So she was walking with them. The police say that they described her as unsteady, needing to lean on cars as she walked, really seeming, they kept saying, out of sorts, you know, and but certainly not somebody who was sort of in a normal right state of mind.
Yeah. We're talking with Courtney Stewart, the very latest on the disappearance of Morgan Harrington. We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook online at readthehook.com. Police recently released more information about the case of the murder of assault and murder of Morgan Harrington, whose body was found just about a year ago. So what else did they tell you?
Well, so they sort of shared more details about this walk that she took with the basketball players.
Away from the arena,
sort of across Massey Road.
She attached herself to some basketball players
who
were...
And I had previously reported that she was interacting with people outside of the arena, including a guy that she kicked after, you know, she approached him and said, let's go. And he declined. He was waiting for a friend who was coming in with his ticket a little late. That guy did make that report. I confirmed with police and has been cleared. He's not considered a suspect or anything.
All of these witnesses have been cleared, right?
All the witnesses, yeah. And I have made sure that, you know, anybody I talk to.
Because there's a lot of them that have said, oh, yeah, I think I saw her.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. And I think some people, there were certainly probably many beautiful, young, blonde women wearing black at the Metallica concert that night. So I think there are some reported sightings that may not have been her. But certainly the ones that we're talking about... have been, as you know, confirmed because of the fact that they can recall a Pantera shirt or because of other things she was wearing or her behavior that she had fallen inside the arena and had cut her chin. So people, consistent reports of, oh yeah, I saw a blonde girl with blood on her chin.
Yeah.
They can piece it together that way. So she ends up in the RV lot.
Over by the
track.
Yeah.
And has asked the basketball players for a ride. The police won't say where she wanted to go, which that still remains, like, where was she going? She's left the concert that she's been planning to attend for,
and they drove over from Harrisonburg,
right? Left her car. Where is it that she's wanting to go?
Where did they drive from to go to this concert?
They drove from Harrisonburg. She and her roommate had driven up from Blacksburg.
And there's no information that would point to the fact that they were going to stay in Charlottesville that night.
No, they were going back to Harrisonburg.
So where the heck was she going when she said, I'll get a ride?
Right, yeah. She says, I'll get a ride. I think they probably have more information about that. And for whatever reason, they don't feel like it's helpful to release it.
Yeah.
It may just be that it, you know, I don't know what the reason could be. But the police declined to elaborate on where she wanted a ride to, what she was saying, what the conversation was, why they would decline to give her whatever ride she was asking for.
So what's she doing in the RV lot? Just trying to get a ride from people?
Well, now she's been left. So there are like 14 of these players who have come out of the arena following some sort of team meeting or practice or whatever it was they were doing. So they leave, and now she's left in the RV lot.
She's in the RV lot because she attached herself to them. They were walking in that direction.
So she just walks with them.
Saw a bunch of basketball players and decided to hang out with them and, in a sense, followed them to the RV lot.
Follows them to the RV.
Trying to get a ride.
She drops her phone at least once along the way and loses the back of it in the lot before she crosses Copley Road to the RV lot. And that the back of the phone was found 3 days after she disappeared.
Yeah.
But the battery was never found. So it's likely that at that point her phone is no longer working. But that little detail also sort of takes away the idea that somebody deliberately disabled her phone. I mean, she was dropping it and pieces were coming off and the battery.
But she texted somebody too, right? That was new information. Because I didn't know about that.
She was texting inside the arena.
But not outside.
Not outside. And that happened prior to the phone call from her friends that was at 8:48.
And then there was the parent. You write about the parent who saw her.
Right. And that was, we knew that there were witnesses who had seen her hitchhiking. But again, that was such bizarre behavior and so out of character, her parents said. They had a very hard time believing that at first. But so I think the sharing of some details about these witnesses helps make it more plausible.
Yeah. So who saw her? Who is this guy?
You have a father who is from out of town visiting his UVA student daughter. They have dinner somewhere, presumably over, I guess, near Emmett Street at 29. They're coming back or coming away from his hotel, which the police said was near the Darden School. I don't know what that would be. And as they come through, they drive through the arena area, and then they head up over the bridge.
The suites there, back behind, there's the hotel back behind Barrett Road.
The residence Marriott. Yeah, so that's probably something like that. So he comes over the bridge with his daughter. He's taking her back to her dorm, and they see they're one of three separate witness sightings. They see
of Morgan on the bridge
of a blonde
trying to flag people down for a ride
with her thumb out. Hitchhiking. So they go past. They don't stop or anything. They drop the daughter off. The daughter gets dropped off at her dorm. Her key marks her time. You know, so they have a time stamp. So they say, well, we must have crossed the bridge maybe 2 or 3 minutes before that, or maybe 5 minutes before. So it's around 9:20. They see her. He leaves. He stops at the 7-Eleven that's right there on the corner by the bridge, buys something. So now he has a receipt.
So a second time stamp.
So there's a second time stamp. And when he goes back across the bridge,
she's still there.
She's gone.
Oh,
no,
she's gone.
So they know that she vanished
disappeared then.
In that like 10-minute window.
Which is roughly, what was it, like 9:30-ish?
9:30 was roughly the timestamp at the 7-Eleven. 9:23 was when she went into her dorm. So 9:20 to 9:30.
And they also released information that they brought a bloodhound out who got her scent.
So they brought this bloodhound out to try to, I guess, corroborate both the basketball player's account that she was walking with them. And so they used that as a starting point, and the dog followed exactly the path that the basketball players had described.
Wow.
Then it followed her down.
Those animals are amazing.
Amazing. And this was 10 days after the concert, the 10 days after she disappeared.
But the dog followed down towards Foods of All Nations, too.
The dog tracked her in the RV lot and where another witness had reported seeing her at near the Port-a-Johns that are at the back corner of the lot. And that was another bizarre description, said she curtsied as they drove by, which is just kind of odd, unusual.
Well, let me ask you about that before we run out of time here. Clearly, I mean, you know, we don't know for sure, but my theory is, and I think a lot of people believe, that she was on some kind of drugs or something. Like, she wasn't acting normally.
No, there was something, definitely there's something going on. I mean, her
but we
every
don't know.
Account, we don't know, and police refused to comment on that. You know, certainly that's what I've been asking, because it doesn't mean anything as far as, you know, did she deserve something to happen? But it would help explain.
No, of course not. But it might explain why she might get in a car with somebody.
Right. Why is she behaving so?
She wasn't in her right mind. Character. Yeah.
Yeah. Why is she out of her right mind? So she gets in a they believe she gets in a car willingly because of this hitchhiking behavior. The dog tracks her just a little bit around the corner onto Ivy Road, loses a scent by Foods of All Nations. And then, you know, as everybody knows, 3 months later, end of January last year, her body's found on Anchorage Farm, which is 9 miles out, 29 south, and then far in on this huge property. And so that police took reporters and her family there for the first time, and we all had the opportunity to see. And I wrote about that a couple of weeks ago, right when it happened. But this in this story, I sort of explore again how somebody might access this particular spot, because It's very, very remote.
And again, all of this complete summary, the very latest, everything we know about the murder of Morgan Harrington. Please take a moment to pick up The Hook or read it online at readthehook.com and get the details, some recently released information from the police that I guess they're hoping, we're all hoping, that it's just going to jog somebody's memory.
Yeah.
Because they insist that this is a serial murderer. This is a very dangerous person.
Very dangerous person.
And still lives here. Still is among us.
Well, that's their belief. And I don't know if they have more information than what I'm printing. I would hope that they do, honestly, because
And they might have more information that makes them so convinced that the person is still around here.
Right. I mean, yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what that is. I do know that they use the words extremely confident that he's still here. And that they think it has to be somebody who knows this Anchorage farm area. So, you know, I think people just need to just not forget that this has happened. I mean, that's why I keep writing about it. It's too horrible that this has happened. I know it happens all over the country.
Happened right here.
But it happened right here.
Yeah. And how many UVA students or just young women who live here in Charlottesville think it's okay to go out and walk by themselves at night, you know? It's not.
Yeah. I mean, the Harringtons have said repeatedly like how disturbed they are when they come to visit, and they will, you know, be by the Copley Road Bridge and see a girl jogging over it by herself at night.
Yeah.
I mean, just people just, you know, not live in fear, but just behave, you know, in a way that does not make it easy for someone to victimize you.
There's nothing wrong with being a little cautious.
Right.
Especially if we know that there's still somebody out
there.
Courtney, thank you so much for all the work that you do. And we encourage folks to pick up the article. Again, it's this week's cover story in The Hook, the very latest, everything we know, new information about the murder of Morgan Harrington. Courtney, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.